Hello, everybody, and welcome to the JRPG Book Club podcast. This is the magazine rack where we talk game news. And today we are live streaming, recording video.
No, we're not. We are recording video.
Yeah, we're recording video.
So you can watch this while we talk. So
the worst part is we can't hide our laughter anymore. I can't just like mute myself. You're going to see me laugh.
This is it. So we're doing something a little different. We're recording video. It's been something we've been talking about on and off for a while, but I think, you know, I just upgraded my computer, so we're able to do it and make it more of a reality. So you get to see real, like, what actually happens with us. We'll see if it's good. Let's dig right in. What have you guys been up to?
Oh, man. So they had just released a patch for Ratchet and Clank, the movie, the game.
And oh, that was a thing.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a remake of the first game, and I would say a lesser. It wasn't very good story-wise. They took out a lot of really cool character development moments.
That's about what I've heard.
Which would have been great for film. I don't know why they took it out. Instead,
I mean, there's the keeping it to, you know, movie length kind of stuff. So I'm sure perfectly. There's like an expanded edition probably where it has a lot of that stuff you're probably referring to.
Or at least it was planned out, maybe storyboarded.
No, yeah. They took out chunks of, like, there's this whole thing where Ratchet goes to Quark's home base and convinces him to that he can change, that he can be better. Like, that would have been great for the movie. Instead, they just have a moment in the movie where Quark just like, no, I'm going to be a... He pulls a Darth Vader and just like, I'm going to attack the main bad guy and kill and get rid of him and save the hero. Like, he does that. There is a whole bit where Ratchet and Clank have a fight and they stop being friends and they're separated because they don't know each other. They're just like, man, you really are getting on my nerves. And then they're like, fine, I'll see you later. I'll figure out my way
Screw
home.
Screw you, man.
Screw you. And then they like realize like, oh, this is actually, you know, I shouldn't have acted that way. And they have like a really good like moment where they like apologize and become friends again. Like, it was really cool. Like, Ratchet grows up. In the original, he's kind of a cocky. That whole like 90s cool era Sonic type stuff. He had that attitude. Okay.
Quick aside. It has been as long as like, you know, like kids in the 90s, kids, like us referring to the 90s is the same thing as kids when we were born referring to the 60s. Think about that. When I heard that earlier today, that melted my brain.
Back in my day.
Right. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Like, something that kills me is that, like, Super Mario, like, when you think 20 years ago, you think of, like, I don't know, Super Mario World, and someone pointed out, like, hey, it's Super Mario Sunshine's 20th, and it's like, oh my god. The GameCube's older than 20, which is...
Yeah.
Man.
Kills me. Slaughters me. I'm so mad.
Yeah, so...
Feel old.
Anyway, I've been playing that Ratchet & Clank game, and I just blazed through it, because it's really fun, and it looks really pretty, and it made me super excited for this Rift in Time Ratchet & Clank that's coming out in June, I believe.
Yeah.
But I blazed through it, and so I was like, I need something else to play. And aside from the game that we're playing for the podcast, I jumped on to the Doom Eternal DLC, and it is so much fun, and it's kicking my butt. So...
Nice.
It's good. But I did mention in the last episode, like, it adds a little, like, interesting thing to the HUD, where on your reticle in the center of the screen, it does add, like, a symbol for, like, your grenades, your rage punch or whatever, and how much oil you have for your chainsaw. Like, little tiny symbols with, like, little dots. And it's, like, really non-intrusive. And they're kind of, like, they kind of fade after a little bit. And it's really nice. And it's actually really helpful to realize I don't have to look at, you know, the bottom left of the screen. I can still focus on the action and where I need to shoot and where the enemies are, and still know how much ammunition I have for this specific item. It was really nice.
Yeah, it sounds like they did just like a really good job with that. Like, just very intuitive, very clean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when I need to jump into at some point. Maybe.
It's good.
Yeah, it's been just like the longest since I played a Doom game at all.
Right.
I should really probably hop on the newest one because, you know, I've heard only good things about it, really.
I think the last Doom game I played was the original one, like on some random system that I hacked back in the day. It's like, it can run Doom.
You can play the original one in Doom.
Yeah.
With this I've new heard. Engine. If you want. So.
Oh, man. Is that it for you, Jack?
That's what I've been playing.
What about you, Ty? What you got?
I've just been playing our podcast game, obviously. And then
that's what happens when it's your favorite.
Yeah. And I mentioned last time that I played Jackie Chan Fist of Fury.
Forgot about
with
this.
A friend. And we met up again last weekend, and we ran, no joke, 60 games straight of Jackie Chan Fist of Fury. Because we were like, this is just so fun. And the rounds go by so fast because every hit does like infinite damage. And we were going through like the fan wiki and stuff.
You are some quality gamers right there.
Oh, yeah. But it was so goofy. So I found my like main, who's I think Drunken Master. Yeah, Drunken Master Jackie Chan. And he's like horrendously broken in the game. It's so much fun to
love
play.
It.
And we were like, today was the first time that we were really experimenting with like the good characters because we were trying to play like some of the bad ones. And
I think I would exclusively play bad ones. That's usually my thing, if I can help it.
Yeah, because we really found out just how gross some of the characters are. Like, Drunken Master Jackie Chan has this kick that it looks like so unassuming, but if you land it, it deals, like, 30% health.
What?
And, it's fast. Like, it wow. just comes out and looks like this really dumb little kick, and it just takes off 30%, and it combos into super, it combos into specials. It's, like, ridiculously broken.
It's hiding being a monster.
Yeah, and it's so funny.
Oh yeah, he's just drunk.
Like, yeah. Like, it's just this dumb little move. Like, number one, if you can find Jackie Chan Fist of Fury in an arcade or something, 100% play it. Like, it is so fun. And now that I've like actually sat in the game and we've actually like run 60 sets of it, like it's so
bad. That sounds great. That sounds like a great time.
Oh, it was. How about you, Bill?
I've been all over the place, man. I've basically been playing everything that's not our podcast game.
Shame.
Yeah, I know. I really want to finish Persona 5 Strikers. I started getting back on that. I finished like another, I'm probably, if I were to guess, probably like 3/4 of the way through, I think. Don't quote me on that because I have actual no reference. And I've been playing a bunch of Tekken 7 again.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tekken, right? And so as you know, I have a Tekken 3 arcade cabinet. I'm finally taking the steps to try and sell that board, but I bought a Tekken Tag board, and I'm going to switch that out because I love Tekken Tag. That's like Tekken Tag 2 I love probably a little bit more, but Tekken Tag, the first one, is also like amazing.
The original one just had such a good cast. You have like goofy characters like Gon in it.
All I care about is playing my Wang. Because all he does is go, ha! And like, see, you can see me doing it now. I could like swipe and people can see me. If you're just listening to the podcast, sorry.
Obviously watch the video.
Or don't, do whatever you want. But all I'm doing is just like a swiping motion. It's wax on type move.
I don't think the cab has it, but I remember, I think the disc release has volleyball or something. Or
yeah, that sounds right. It's something like that. I don't remember what it's called. Yeah,
there was a side tournament for it at Combo Breaker like years back.
Awesome.
And because I remember a friend of mine entered it and he like went 0-2 and was mad about it.
The saltiest thing you can be upset about is losing at Tekken Ball.
Man, I lost at Tekken Ball.
Yeah.
Right?
But that was the one he was mad about. Like, he did okay in some other games, but he was like pissed that he lost.
That was my game!
Yeah. It's like, I played that for hours. I'm like, bro, it's Tekken Ball.
Right. Look, at least I'm finally upgrading. If you know anybody who wants to buy a Tekken 3 cab board, PCB, please send them in my way. But I'm excited for that. That should be in a month or two. It's coming from Asia, so it'll be a little bit before it gets here. But I'm super excited. I've been wanting to upgrade the board for forever. We got to swap out some buttons and stuff because there's like the tag button and stuff. But I'm excited. I think those are the big ones. I've been playing PSO2 still. Nothing too crazy. Like I said, just trying to not play Tactics Advance. Well, the thing is, like I told you before, is with tactics games, I have to be in the mood for it. If I'm in the mood for it, I jam them for hours. I could play for 10 plus hours and just whatever. I'm fine. But if I'm not into it, it's just like the most grueling thing ever. And I think I'm slowly becoming more and more like that for other stuff, too. So it's a problem. So, yeah, that's about it for me, though, I think.
Well, if I remember correctly, I don't know how it's going to work with video, but now it's time for an ad.
Ads! For
the podcast people. I don't, like, are we doing that for the video, too? Are we throwing an anchor onto the screen?
I think there's like, just going to be a, like, star wipe. We're gonna put in a really bad star wipe, and, because star wipes are the best thing, right? It's the best possible outcome is a star wipe. So, insert star wipe here.
Them so good ads.
Ad.
Yeah, I was an ad, all right.
And if you're doing the ad. Video, you might have not had an ad. Awesome.
we'll see. But I'm going to start things off with Ty's Fighting Game Corner again, of course. But first, I'm going to start it on a somber note. Let's have a moment of silence.
I'm ruining this.
Guiltier Strive was supposed to come out today.
No.
Before it got delayed. Yeah, today was going to be the day that pre-orders players were allowed to play.
Gotcha.
It was going to be Friday was the official release. But, yeah, we almost had it. It was almost right in front of us.
Oh, man.
RIP.
I've been texting friends all day, like, I'm so sorry.
Pour one out for the boys.
Yeah, pouring one out for the boys. But we did get some news today, which is really cool. So after the previous beta, they actually sent out a survey asking how we felt about it, like what did we like, what didn't we like, what characters did we play, etc. And we got the full results of that. Found out that Ramlethal, like far and beyond, was the most popular character.
I totally know who that is.
Yeah, I'm sure you totally do. But
yep.
We found out that Ramlethal.
I know all of the Guilty Gear characters.
People think that the damage is way too high, and they think that jumping is very good right now. And the development team was like, "Okay, we hear you. We're gonna keep damage high because, you know, it's Guilty Gear." And
get
you know,
they gave us
a really good response to it. It was kind of good to get some like dev insight as to, like, kind of what we said about it all.
Right.
And also just seeing the region differences, like different regions play different characters.
And seeing different things about it.
Yeah, like North America really liked the new character Giovanna and played a lot of Giovanna, but Japan was playing Ramlethal. I think Oceania, it was Europe, was playing Sol. Like, we got to see, like, the differences in characters, which was super cool per region.
That's neat.
And then they announced that there's going to be another beta, a second beta. I think this is, like, technically their third beta. It's
okay.
A beta. It's going to be second public beta. There we go. Second public.
There you go. Words.
We don't have a date. It's going to be late April, early May, probably, knowing the release window. And
right.
It's going to have every character. It's going to have improved lobbies, slightly improved internet or net code, because the net code was already amazing. And then
you're already amazing.
Stop. Thanks, Bill. I really needed that today.
I got you, baby.
I'm super excited. Like, we only had the last public beta for, like, 3 days, and people loved it, and it was tons of fun. So to get it again before the game releases, you know, it could have been today, but...
Could have, but isn't.
Could have, should have, would have.
When was the release date? They moved it to the summer, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, June 11th. It got pushed back 2 months.
Shoot.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's why people were mad, because they're like, you even skipped May, like, right? Just 2 months. And
all right, look, if they're fixing it, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm excited to see how the online lobbies do when we get the next beta, because that was the main complaint that everybody had, was that the online lobby sucked.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how drastically it changed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely see. Like, because people weren't happy with, like, any part of it, so we'll see if they change the presentation or just how it works, or we'll see.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm excited for it, yeah. And then for the last little bit of fighting game news, Capcom had a presentation today about Street Fighter V. They showed off Rose, Dan, or not Dan, they showed off Rose, Oro, and a little bit of Akira, who's, like, kind of a guest character. It was cute. It was fun. There wasn't much else to it. I think they're doing a crossover with the musician Zed, and they're doing like a clothing line with him.
Okay.
That's cool.
Gotcha.
Like, it's cute.
That's neat. I like when companies do like good clothes. Like, it's not just a t-shirt, it's like geek chic kind of stuff. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because they're doing like just too cute like shirt, or they're doing, I think, three cute shirts. There's Zed in the Street Fighter font, there's one of Blanca and it's like glow in the dark, and then one of Ryu, but the glove is textured, I think.
That's kind of cool
for some reason. I don't know, I don't get that one, but you know, it was fun to see an announcement, and it was cool to actually like see the characters that they've been working on for the last 6 months,
right?
But other than that, there wasn't much there,
right?
But I'm just kind of happy to see what they've been working on. I don't have the most interest in Street Fighter V anymore, but it's still cool to see, like, you know, characters that I like come back. You know, maybe I'll just give them a shot.
I heard that Dan's actually going to be pretty good this time around.
He was always good.
Super solid. He has an infinite, which is hilarious.
Really? Oh, no.
And I don't think they're planning on patching it, because it's very hard to do, and it's not...
That,
you know,
that's a
Dan.
Nick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our buddy Nick will absolutely play Dan.
Dan is his boy. Yeah, and now he's got an infinite? All right.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
What else is on the docket today?
The docket? Jack's got a couple things.
Speaking of feeling old, here's some news about a project that is 17 years in the making. Back in 2002, when Metroid Prime came out, some guys were like, this is really cool. We should turn this into a 2D Metroid game. So they started to create Metroid Prime 2D. And I remember following this way back when, because I was super obsessed with Metroid Prime. Still am.
Dude, you're the one that I'm like, all right, Metroid news? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not super into Metroid. It's funny because, like, I bought Metroid Prime on GameCube and I'm like, I'm just not into this. And Jack's like, what? This is great.
I'm obsessed with him. I've played.
You just like have to go around and scan stuff. It just wasn't my thing.
You don't have to scan at all.
Yeah, but let's face it, you're going to get guilt tripped in the game or by other people if you don't.
Nah, it's okay. I actually just enjoy the scanning bit. But
no, it's cool. I get why people like it.
Yeah. I enjoy the exploration first person shooter aspect of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love playing that game as a kid.
Mm-hmm. So these guys have slowly been working on this game, and on April 1st, they made a post announcing that they decided to turn their Metroid Prime 2D into a 3D game, and made it really dumb looking pictures. Like, we're going to do Metroid Prime 3D. And then they're like, actually, no, here's a demo of the game that we've been working on for 17 years. So
yeah, see, that's super sick.
Well, it's all like what, like one or two guys probably kind of thing.
A handful. I don't know how many people are on the team anymore, but apparently,
I mean, small dev teams are still small dev teams, right? Like the some of the games that like are well regarded in the indie community as like some of the best are labors of love that took them, you know, a decade plus or sometimes more. So
yeah, and I know,
look at Stardew,
that they haven't had a lot of updates for the past couple of years. But according to one of the guys, he said that while they haven't been posting anything, they've done a lot of groundwork and stuff for this game. And
That's great. It's not dead.
Yeah. They're still making it, and it looks really good. Like, the pixel art is incredible from what I've seen.
Right.
Though I think we know why they haven't been posting about it
yeah.
too much.
Yeah, there was the Metroid Prime 2.
The Nintendo C&Ds.
Metroid 2 remake.
Yeah. I remember that. That was cool. You showed me that. That was neat.
I'm getting handed something. Oh, it's the C&D already.
Oh. Da-dun-dun. I hate you so much.
Oh, no. But Nintendo, it's not us. We're not making it.
Yeah.
Well, Nintendo.
We'll see.
But, yeah, it's getting a lot of coverage, including on here. But it's really cool, and they've been working on it a long time. They'll probably get a cease and desist, but they haven't recently. So
I'm surprised, like, if they've been working on it this long.
Fan projects that have come out that have been fine. I'm pretty sure the Metroid 2 remake one was a special case because with
they were making the new Metroid 2.
Yeah, they were literally making the Metroid 2 remake on the 3DS, and they didn't want anyone to know, which makes right. total sense. Yeah.
Which was really just like a hilarious coincidence.
Yeah, very unfortunate right. coincidence. And personal...
Because
yeah,
I still remember...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was going to say, I still remember people on Twitter like, they just took the idea. They just remade it themselves. It's like, no, they've probably been working on that for a couple of years. Like,
yeah. Game dev takes a long time. That's what it is.
And honestly, I did not like that one. The Nintendo 3D,
the actual remake,
the 3DS
yeah.
one. I really disliked it.
I remember you telling me that. You're like, this one was so cool, and they did this one, and it's way worse, and all this stuff.
Yeah, the fan project one was so much better in so many ways, and this remake from Nintendo was just so bad.
More people need to do the Sonic Mania thing, like, where they hire the team of people who actually care about, they're the ones doing the remakes, where they actually put, like, time, love, and care into it, you know? Like,
I'm also in the minority. Apparently, a lot of people liked the remake. But oh, really? I thought it was so bad.
Yeah, I never got it.
Well, is it bad because you're comparing it to the other one?
No, I didn't enjoy it at all. Like, I'll get hit by a bug, and I'll get an entire energy tank taken out. I'm like, that has never been a thing in the Metroid games.
We'll see how the new Metroid Prime 4 goes.
It's got Retro Studios back on it, so we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, I remember seeing some pretty good reviews for the 3DS one. I think it like averaged like an 8 out of 10. Yeah. I know a friend of mine
was I heard pretty good stuff too.
Yeah, like I said, I'm in a minority. But I'm also a huge fan, and I hated it. So I don't know what that tells anyone, but...
Yeah, that's fair. And then you also had something else, didn't you, Jack?
Check this out.
I was going to say, talking about Metroid...
The other side of the Vania.
The Vania!
Castlevania had a canceled game called Castlevania Resurrection that was supposed to come out for the Dreamcast. It was going to feature Sonia Belmont, as well as a new character, Victor Belmont. I think Victor Belmont showed up later in Castlevania Legends on the Game Boy. Mm. But this was going to be his first introduction. But I guess there was some sort of problem going on with Konami. And
there's always a problem going on with Konami, right. I feel like.
Yeah, so...
Having played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Not surprised. And oh, yeah. There has been a prototype from a predating E3 1999 of Castlevania Resurrection. Boy. And so it's not fully playable, a fully realized game. It's just a demo still. There's a lot of things that still need work from the gameplay footage we've seen.
Right.
Looks pretty neat. But, yeah, I just thought that was really cool. It's one of those 3D adventure games like the 64 ones. Perhaps would have been better on the Dreamcast. I don't know.
I would hope so. Like...
Probably.
The 64 one is such a disappointment to me.
There's two of them.
I always forget that, yeah.
And they're both
there's the one everybody knows really well.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one that's also bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse.
I'm watching the demo gameplay right now, and it looks smooth. Like, that's the thing that's surprising me about it, is it looks, you know, it looks clean.
Maybe they ran out of Castlevania money.
Yeah. Like, you know, this happens a lot. Like, a game gets pretty far in development, or at least far enough to get a demo, and it just kind of falls apart, which really sucks. Like... like, looking at this, it looks like a Dreamcast game. It really looks like, you know, a Sonic Adventure.
It's got that feel. And,
yeah. But the thing is, it was in that kind of perfect, like, niche, like, Dreamcast era.
Right.
We really started getting, like, these really, like, intricate and cool games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think it would have been actually, like, fun as hell, but...
Right. Say la vie.
Maybe if the demo becomes available.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know people are going to try and get it happen. Castlevania is a big enough fan base.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys play any of the 3D Castlevanias? Was it Lords of Shadow or whatever it was called? The newer ones?
I heard they're bad, but I also heard the twist of the last one.
I know a lot of people
one.
Really liked them, though. Hmm. Like, I had several friends who really liked them.
Isn't the twist of the last one that, like, you're...
Spoilers.
That the Belmonts are...
Spoilers. No, you are Dracula.
Oh. Oh. Oh, how's that?
And then okay. I think the last game was you being Dracula, and then you got to do a lot of cool stuff. So, like, that's a really cool twist. I really like that idea.
No, it's fun, man. I like when they do the spin on it.
That and, like, playing Alucard in that one Castlevania game was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was sick as hell.
He was really cool.
Let me play Castlevania Symphony of the Night again. Yeah, that's all I need. I don't need to play any other Castlevania game ever. Just give me Symphony of the Night and I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Is that it for that one?
That's it.
Sweet. So, our final story of the night is... Oh, that's not coming up, of course. we are talking E3. We got some E3 news. So for years, me and Jack have like gotten together and watched like all of E3 or all the events around E3. Best like that's our season. I used to call off of work for a week just to watch all the E3 stuff. You know, both me and Ty have been to E3. It's a big part, you know, I know a lot of people, it's like, it's a big part of their, you know, gaming culture, you know, whether if you've been there a long time ago, or just recently, or you just watch the live streams or whatever, like, it's a huge, like, point that like, has been a thing for such a long time. You know, in recent years, we've discussed this before a little bit, you know, recent years has become less important. Like, there's other ways to go about delivering the information that they give to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, it's still like, I love that time of year where we just get together and watch the streams of stuff happening. If you're watching the video or not, I've got footage from E3 95 up on the screen. It's crunchy. I love it. but, you know, we weren't sure because we know last year E3 didn't happen. And a bunch of other events kind of took its place. Summer Game Fest from Jeff Keighley and a couple other ones. But it's back this year. It's finally happening again. I guess finally is a bit of a extreme word for it, but it's back this year. The companies that are with it are Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive's, Warner Brother, and Koch Media, I think it's pronounced. Some big names that aren't in it is Sony, which was expected, right? EA. So I would assume EA is going to do EA Play. They've been doing it for years. Like, that's their thing, right? Sony will have their state of play type thing, I'm sure. They do that. Nintendo does their directs. Like, it, the thing is like, Nintendo's part of it, but not really. Like, that's the way it's been the last couple years. Like, even the year that me and Ty had went, because we actually went the same year, which is funny, but we didn't know each other yet.
Yeah. It was literally just a couple of months before we met, too, which is funny.
Yeah, it's great. and, like, it's one of those things where Nintendo already wasn't doing their, like, live streams live. It was a Nintendo Direct, and they just had booths. And since it's all online this year, like, what does it mean that you're there? You're just going to be part of the live stream schedules, you know? So that's the big thing. You know, me and another friend of mine have been talking for a while that it's going to be in the next probably two to five years, we're probably not going to have an actual E3 anymore. It seems like they've been switching into a more just like a basic convention with announcements, and I would assume it's going to continue to be that way. But, you know, we'll see. I think we're going to have it for a couple of years more, but we'll see. My big question is, you know, is Namco Bandai going to be part of it? Is Atlas going to be part of it? Those are the companies that I care about because they're JRPG heavy. We know Tales of Arise is supposed to have more news this summer. I expect it to be part of E3. It could be part of, like, something like New Games Plus or Summer Game Fest. We'll see, like, what the bidding war for these, like, not, like, big streaming events, but, like, the same kind of deal, right? Like, last year we had, what was it, IGN that was kind of, like, doing a large chunk of the live streams.
Yeah.
Much to my dismay.
Everyone's dismay. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's rough. But, you know, we got that stuff. Like, it was funny because every time any news would come on from it, both all of us would just, like, try and mute the mic when it was just them talking or, like, go to the actual source, right? So we didn't have to listen to the IGN talk because it's just so annoying. I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, it's they're talking, but they're not talking their actual opinions. They're talking what they're paid to say. They're not
talking. Like,
yeah, it's all non-content. Yeah. Which, like, non-content's fine, but, like, don't claim to be, like, news, you know? It's not news if I can go on to the same place that you get your stuff from and verify it the exact same way you do. You're not having an exclusive with them or whatever. That's not news, you know? We're an opinion podcast more than anything, right? So, like, it's the same thing. You're just, you know, you're not any more special than anybody else. You just have a bigger platform.
It feels like they can't have an opinion. They have to be positive about everything. They can't be like, I don't know about that. That doesn't look great.
Or at best, it's like, it's not my thing.
Yeah. Or they just have to, like, just explain what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big thing that I always saw, especially with, like, IGN stuff, is it's just,
there's sports,
like,
announcers.
Oh, yeah, then this happened. Like,
yeah, especially exactly, Jack.
Even the write-ups on, like, announcements. It's like, this happens, and this happens, then this happens in the trailer. And it's like, I could just watch the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like just the world itself is a weird, really weird place for, like, news and stuff. Because of stuff like that, like, we're all connected through our smartphones and stuff like that. Like, what is the place for the news? Like, what is the real? I feel like, you know, you have stuff like Twitter and stuff like that, but some people will be like, oh yeah, the Twitter news isn't real news. And so, like, it's like, well, what is, like, for me, you know, news and stuff is something that's coming from the source, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or has, like, cited work, like, or it's in an interview with somebody who's doing the creative, right? So, like, oh, I'm in talks with Horinobu Sekiguchi, right? And we're talking about his new game, right? And that's news, because you're having an interview. Like, it's an exclusive news source, right? I can cite it back to here, because it's coming from the source. But, you know, everybody will just say, like, well, there's a rumor floating around, and, like, that's how so much stuff gets populated nowadays. It's just like, cool, but where's your facts check, you know? Like, that was one of the big things I learned about, and probably Jack, too, because we went to the same school, was, you know, when you write a term paper, right, it's all about citing your work, right? It is the cornerstone of news and everything else. Like, if I get my news from a doctor, they better cite their work, because I'm not going to trust them as much. Like, it's great you're a doctor, but there's a lot of people who call themselves doctors. A chiropractor is a doctor, you know?
Too many people out there being like, do your own research.
Right, well, okay. But where did you get yours from so I can prove you wrong?
Right. You want people like, it's a two-way street. You, then show us your research as well. Like,
yeah, you got to be credible.
Seriously.
But, you know, E3, I got on a major tangent. But, you know, E3 is in a weird place that I think, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, maybe we'll have another event that just is the new E3 that's, you know, different. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think much more of these companies are, it makes more sense for them just do an online thing. It's way less overhead. They don't have to do in-person giant thing. As much as I love the in-person giant things, like, don't take me wrong, I love that stuff. When we went to E3 and you were walking New Donk City, that was one of the coolest things ever. Like,
it was so nice.
They had little secrets, like, you'd like ring a doorbell and, like, lights would flicker and, like, make noises and everything. It's like, it's so well done. It was one of the highest quality, like, design things I've seen, and I've been doing events for a decade.
Dang.
And something else I really want, like, I don't know, I think the physical E3 is important still. Like, obviously we have kind of this, you know, coverage.
Well, the thing is, it's an event. Like, that's the thing.
Because like another thing about E3, and this is also true with my experience at GDC, is that you run into all these indie developers, and these people who get to like kind of attach onto like the Xbox presentation or something, or like seeing Cuphead and like the developers of Cuphead kind of around.
I think that the thing is though is now you have stuff like Day of the Devs, and they cover all the indie stuff. Like there's so many more platforms than there used to be for it that are indie centric, and that's, you know, I like, look, the stuff that I write on our blog is Indie Insights. Like, it's very important to have platforms for indie games, right? But a lot of those ones get, you know, associated with small mid-tier companies, right? There's Annapurna, there's whatever else, right? There's a ton of them. And then all the others, there's stuff that falls through the cracks. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's always that kind of stuff. But... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think E3 is generally the platform for that, like, because the booths are super expensive. Everything else, like, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to do it. There are some cool deck demos and stuff. Like, when we went, there was some really, really cool stuff that I got to experience that's, like, now actual, like, practical, like, use tech that we see in, like, regular stuff. And it's so cool to have seen that early. Be like, oh, that's being utilized now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's become, like, just a fancy gaming con kind of thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about it yet. We'll see as the whole thing goes down, right?
Yeah, when the pandemic really starts kind of wearing off and we can, you know, actually hold conventions again, like, it's, yeah, it is rough.
Well, they lost two of the big boys, and this year they lost EA, right? Like, who knows if they're gonna do what they were doing before with EA Play. Like, They could change that up, and maybe they're like, oh yeah, we're going to partner with another company or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's weird.
I just hate to see the physical go, you know? Like, I understand the need not to, and like, I'm not saying like, oh, embrace tradition, but
I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Being there.
I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but I think it's going to shrink. Its place in the industry is going to be greatly reduced in the next 2 to 5 years at the very least.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
But yeah, that's the big question, right? We'll see. Mm-hmm. Day of the Devs, if you people aren't watching, that's such a great resource. It's been done with I think it's like IM8Bit and a bunch of other companies, and it's through Summer Game Fest, if I remember correctly. And it's such a great platform for indie people. IM8Bit and all these other companies, like, they can really help you put production through on some of these games, you know? Because, like, they did a post the other day where they're like, well, why don't you just focus on these bigger companies and stuff like that, right? And they're like, you know, we want to support everybody. Like, you know, getting some of these indie games, like, getting their stuff onto physical media, you know, may it be music, may it be the actual games, maybe whatever, right? That's a dream. Like, if you're an indie dev, like, that's a huge deal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's some games where people are like, what is that? Or whatever. Like, you know, you have those, you have limited run games, stuff like that. That's like one of the only platforms a lot of these guys have. And they do such a good job. They do such a, you know, attention to detail. And it's such a cool thing, man. I don't want physical to go anywhere. I don't think it is. But I think it's one of those things where you have these companies and these people, like, aiming to preserve. And that's such a, you know, it's such a cool thing to see that, you know, the community is really behind it. I think that just about does it for this episode, right, guys?
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Not much else. Nothing big, really.
Yeah, it's been a slow, like, last 2 weeks news-wise. Like, there's been a bit here and there, but nothing too crazy.
Watch us, like, end and literally, like, the next day, there's gonna be huge news. Because that happens
That's
every
always
time.
What happens. Every single time.
They just announced the Switch Pro tomorrow.
Right?
No!
Switch Pro with Persona 5 Royal port.
That's what they're waiting for. The Switch Pro, so they have Royal on there.
Final Fantasy 16 gets a release date tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess we're recording again, and I'm going to be super tired.
But yeah, that's...
Yeah, I think that just about does it for us this time. You know, there's a lot of stuff that always drops out after we record. That's just the nature of news, right? But, you know, we do what we can. You know, we produce as much as we can. I think we're doing a decent job for just doing it ourselves, right? Like, I've had to learn so much to, like, get this stuff going between, like, certain, like, just design mechanics or other stuff like that. To those who are new to us, if you're finding us on YouTube now as a new platform for us, or if you're just a regular listener to us, you know, we now have the opposite, right? We have audio on almost every platform that you can listen to podcasts on. We're about to start doing YouTube videos like this, / audio, which is what you're listening to if you're on those other platforms. I'm good at words. It's fine. And we also have a blog that we try to update once a week. It's been 2 weeks, I think, but we have a new episode dropping today, right, guys?
Yep, already released.
Oh, sweet.
It's up on the website. It's nice and fresh.
Sweet.
JRPGbookclub.com. I put a lot of work into it. Please go.
Yeah, do it.
Please visit the website. I want to see you on Google Analytics.
But yeah, so we're multifaceted. We're trying our best to do our thing. Otherwise, that's been it for the JRPG Book Club podcast today. This has been Bill.
This was Ty.
And I'm Jack. And that was the Magazine Rack.
And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.